This D.U. and welcome to Talking Trash. Talking Trash is back. Can I say it again? Talking Trash is back. We're back better than ever. I'm about to talk to you about this crazy stuff that goes on in sports. Yeah, we've been on a hiatus for like the past 4 months. And I just want to like tell you that D.U. is going to bring you a podcast every week through the Pulsar Entertainment Network. I got some gentlemen that have a podcast coming up, a brand new podcast called Soundcheck. When they get in the studio, I'm going to introduce you to them. But right now, we're going to talk a little bit about what's on my mind about sports. First thing, because I know I missed a lot of events and shit that was going on, and a lot of stuff went on, and I wasn't, you know, like, able to address it, like, the Super Bowl, for one. Tom Brady busting the Atlanta Falcons' ass. I miss talking about that. The whole fiasco with the Knicks. Oh, man, I miss so many days talking about that. Matter of fact, I just saw Jeff Hornacek in Manhattan. Just had to say what's up to him. Should have said, yo, you need to be fired, Jeff Hornacek. Sorry to say it, but I think you should lose your job. The Knicks are terrible. 31 games. You got a multiple of talent. KP, D-Rose, Melo on your team, and you only win 31 games. Seem like a nice guy, but you're doing a bad job coaching in the Knicks. And of course, everybody knows I'm a big fan of the Knicks. So, like, Jeff Hornacek, yeah, you know, you need to put in those papers. But first thing I want to discuss is the Scott McGregor-Floyd Mayweather fight. Yo, this is going to be a big money fight. I heard that this is going to be the biggest purse that an MMA fighter has ever received. I mean, like, ever. Now, as far as the money goes for Floyd Mayweather, I don't think for Mayweather that this probably will be the biggest purse he received, but it's going to be a big payday. Dana White, the gentleman that runs the MMA, was like, he has the Scott McGregor side done already. Now they're working on the Floyd Mayweather part. And everything is straight boxing. So I'm like, this is going to be a bullshit fight. Because Floyd just going to knock his ass out. Like, I know some people talking about, like, oh, McGregor's going to be unorthodox. And I seen McGregor's hair skills. That motherfucker ain't nice. You know what I'm saying? Like boxing and MMA. Like, if they had, like, if it was, like, MMA, boxing mix, then Floyd might stand a chance of losing. Again, let me say that again. If it was boxing and MMA, you know, a mixture, then Floyd might stand a chance of losing. But it's straight boxing. So any of you disillusioned individuals who think Floyd is going to lose to this cat, that his boxing skills are not on point like that, you're dreaming. You're dreaming. You're going to spend a lot of money in pay-per-view, have a big party, bob a whole bunch of liquor and food, invite your friends over for about a 3-second fight. Because Floyd gonna knock his ass out. Straight like that. Floyd gonna knock him out. As far as the money, the money is gonna be incredible. McGregor is gonna win it's gonna make a lot of money. Floyd is going to make a lot of money. The pay-per-view people, promoters, where they having the venue at, they're gonna make a lot of money. But the regular fan, like me, you're gonna watch a 3-second fight. He's not gonna be able to hit Floyd, and Floyd's gonna connect, and that motherfucker's going down. Straight like that. If you're even thinking that McGregor's gonna go in there and throw a couple of jabs and hooks and catch Floyd, the best boxers couldn't hit Floyd. What makes you think that McGregor can hit Floyd? And they're putting on boxing gloves. The thing that can work the best if McGregor loses it in the ring and turns around and just grabs Floyd and body slams him, that shit'll make it interesting. That's true, though. You know, that shit'll make it interesting. But if you're thinking, no, I'm gonna go somewhere with it. It's the racial component behind it as well. Floyd is black, mate, and McGregor is white. So all the white fans are thinking, like, that's involving race. It's like, yo, I'm rooting for McGregor. McGregor's gonna kick his ass. Yo, it's not happening. Take out the racial part. Take out the black and white. Take out the black and white. Let's just go on pure hand skills. McGregor is losing hands down. Sorry to tell you. Something else on my mind. I'm a big Knicks fan. Incredible Knicks fan. I love the Knicks. And my favorite player, sorry to say, is not Melo. I like Melo. I love KP. Porzingis is my favorite player on the Knicks. But one thing I do not agree with, is him not attending his exit meeting. His exit meeting. Think about it. He has 2 years in the league. And because he doesn't agree with some of Phil Jackson's practices that, yo, I'm not going to attend the exit meeting. I don't need to attend the exit meeting. Because, Phil, you're treating my fellow teammate, Carmelo, a certain way, and I feel a way about it. Are you fucking kidding me? Carmelo's going to make like $300 million fucking dollars. You just got the fuck in the league, and you talking about you're not going to this goddamn exit meeting. You only made $8 million, motherfucker. Get the fuck out of here, KP. Are you kidding me? Melo's gonna fucking be on an island, retired, richer than a motherfucker, and you're gonna be in a D-League, a big 7-2 stiff. Are you kidding me? Yo, are you fucking kidding me? You didn't go to the exit meeting. Like, you're not be... Yo, KP, you're not helping the situation. You're not helping the situation. Soon you're gonna be the leader of this team. You're gonna be the vet. There's basketballs in the gym with more time than you. Are you kidding me? Unbelievable. Unbelievable. But besides that, you're still my favorite player. some other shit I want to address. I got a lot on my fucking mind. You can tell by the profanity. If it's too much for you, I'm sorry, but it's a lot on my mind. LeVar Ball. LeVar Ball and his son, Lonzo Ball. I love their relationship as far as parent, son. I'm sorry. The sound check guys just came in the building and they corrected me. I appreciate you guys. Thank you. I'm gonna tell you about these sound check guys in a minute. You know? I'll tell you about these sound check guys. So, Lonzo Ball, I love the way he respects his father. But, I honestly don't understand, for the life of me, how they say this man is hurting his son. How is somebody who is evident, you can tell that he loves his children. How are you hurting them? Like, how? Lonzo Ball is getting ready to play in the NBA. He's getting ready to get a nice rookie contract. He's going to make about $4 million a year. The father has created a brand, the Big Baller brand. The sneakers cost $495. If he did the numbers that everybody's saying he's doing, he made about $2 million already. I think the slides cost $295. A lot of people call stuff crazy when they don't understand it. But again, I was watching a show called The Herd, and I believe the young lady's name is Kristen Leahy. She was, you could tell she doesn't like LeVar Ball. They had a few words in exchange, and he told her, stay in your lane. Stay in your lane. And then she responded. Then he said, I'm going to move on. And she said, are you threatening me? Not because he said, stay in your lane. He said, yo, if you're going to be disrespectful, and I'm paraphrasing, you gotta expect what's coming back at you. So when he said, what's coming back at you, she said, are you threatening me? Where I'm from, that's not a threat. Where I'm from, that's not a threat. Maybe if he had said, yeah, I'm gonna put a cap in your ass, that's a threat. Maybe if he had said, I'm gonna cut you, that's a threat. Now came to find out, she was questioning his parenting, saying that his children were scared of him. Don't confuse respect with fear. Saying that all three sons are playing basketball. When do you get that? Like, he's forcing them to play basketball. They're not playing basketball because they want to. That's a lie. Their brother, Lonzo Ball, is going to be in the NBA. Where I come from, most younger brothers want to follow and do what their older sibling does. So, like, you saying among the masses that LeVar Ball children fear him. You know what? Yeah, they should fear him. because he's their parent, not their friend. He has to raise them. If Lonzo Ball and Melo Ball, if his children were out robbing and stealing, you'd be that same person would be like, yo, he need to take better care of his children. He need to parent better. They're playing basketball. And again, don't confuse respect with fear. Something else. And then I'm going to introduce you to two unique individuals. The NBA playoffs. Blowout City. One, I know Isaiah Thomas doesn't know me, but I just want to give condolences to him and his family. If by any chance him, his family, his friends hear this, deepest sympathies. And I definitely appreciate the performance he displayed during the NBA playoffs. Heart of a lion. Everybody else, all the series, whack. Whack, super whack. But this NBA championship series, even though the first game was a blowout, I think this is going to be one for the ages. Durant looked like, yo, listen, LeBron, I'm coming at you. They try to put Kawhi Leonard in my spot. Am I pronouncing it right? It's Kawhi. I said Kawhi. That's some black shit right there. That's some hood shit. But fuck it. Kawhi Leonard. They try to put Kawhi Leonard in his spot. Like, yo, he's a number two player in the NBA. But nah, bro. Durant's like, yo, okay, LeBron, I'll give you number one. But I'm like, I'm coming for my number two spot. And this number two, and this guy in the number two spot can pull up from 25. You know what I'm saying? Handle the ball like a guard. Come down the middle and fly like a motherfucking plane. This motherfucker ain't no joke. Yo, he's coming for you, LeBron. I don't know. Matter of fact, I'm gonna be bold. Five games, Golden State wins this. Five games. Five games and it's over. Durant is on a mission. Curry's not hurt. LeBron, yo, I'm not taking anything away from LeBron. Matter of fact, since my brother's here, any LeBron supporters?
That's right. LeBron.
Yeah. Right.
Team Bron.
You said Team Bron.
Team Bron.
I'm not
Team
talking Bron. To you right now. I'm not talking to you.
Let him go, man. Let
Excuse
him go.
Me, sir.
You got to respect it.
Excuse me, sir, with the hoodie.
Oh, yeah.
You a LeBron supporter?
Yeah, he's cool. He's cool with me.
I'm not talking to you right now either. Back to what I was talking about. No, listen. I respect LeBron as well. I respect it.
Mm-hmm.
I respect everything he stands for. I respect his game. The man can ball. But I think Durant is on a mission. Matter of fact, you know, if Durant doesn't win, he's definitely going to get ridiculed. Because he made that move like everybody was against him going to the team that was like an already made championship
for sure,
team.
For sure.
But to me, I always say people want you to win, but only on their terms.
Mm.
He's like, yo, later for your terms.
Mm.
I want to win now. But that being said, I know y'all people here, two guys in the room chiming in right now about being LeBron supporters. But these two gentlemen have a podcast that I believe is going to move the needle on the culture.
Mm.
Yo, I cracked myself up saying that shit. Move the needle on the culture. Not that I don't think they're not going to move the needle on the culture, just the fact that I use the word culture. Like, you know what I'm saying? I'm like, everybody says the culture. It's hip-hop.
Mm-hmm.
All right? It's hip-hop.
Sure. For sure.
They're going to move the needle in hip-hop entertainment. You're not going to believe the topics, the guests that come through, the knowledge, the information you're going to receive from these two with their podcast. I've known these gentlemen for a great number of years, so I can vouch for their knowledge of the culture. So, without another overused word, further ado, without further ado, do you want me to introduce you one by one, or should I just say, without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, sound check.
Yeah.
What up?
What's good? What's good?
Yeah.
Yeah, yo, we want to thank Talking Trash, Big DU, for giving us this opportunity. We know we're going to show them how this thing's supposed to go here. We like this this entertainment stuff here. This is means a lot to us. My name is Dell, by the way. I'm here with Big Dez.
Yeah, Dapper Dez. BK all day.
All right. All day. So, yeah, we got some pretty good things in store for you guys coming up soon, man. It's gonna be riveting, exciting, a little controversial at times, but we're gonna make it worth your while. You're gonna wanna keep coming back. You're gonna wanna hear more of this.
Yeah, you might learn something too.
You might learn something, little young bucks out there. Mm-hmm. Even old heads. Yeah. We might show y'all something too.
Yeah, no doubt.
Let me ask you a question. I'm gonna address Dell right now. I just wanna know, and you can tell the people, your background, like how you got started in hip hop.
Well, I come from a real hip hop oriented family as well. My brother used to DJ like way back in the days, like when I was a little kid running around. I used to see the two turntables and the Gemini mixer, the Techniques, and the Gemini mixer in his room, and I used to run through there and try to get on the set whenever I can. And so I come from a lot of that. But to make a long story short, I started getting more into writing when I used to run with another guy who was a good close family friend at the time. He was a DJ, and he used to DJ with Vestette every now and then, Vestette Sonic. And he basically brought me into one of Vestette Sonic rehearsals one day. And I spit for Daddy-O and Delight, and another guy was there at the time. His name was Crown Supreme, and that's what basically got me even more hungry, because with the rhyme I said, they seemed to love it. So it really got me open on it. So from there, I actually became a member of Step for a little while, and we moved on. Me and Doug started doing some stuff on the side. He was like, making our own little group, because he was more in my age range. So it was like, okay, I'd rather, somebody who more or less in the same type of frame of mind I was thinking. And then we decided that we became a group and we started doing some stuff. So basically, to make a long story even shorter, trying to make it shorter. But the love of hip hop is just there from a long time, from youth all the way to even now in my adulthood. I still love hip hop. I follow even the latest artists. I listen to everybody. I listen to everything. I find something good and bad in just about everything I can hear, because I can tell you when somebody's strong points are, where their weak points are. But I definitely can. I definitely know some music.
Let me chime in real quick. You was an original member of Stet.
Yes. Okay. That's definite fact.
As a teenager.
As a teenager. Yes. Okay. Before this was before Fuquan. This is before Wise was even a member.
Okay.
You know.
Before Prince Paul?
Before Prince Paul as well.
Okay.
Before Prince Paul as well. Okay. But I was around as well when they all were coming into the group as well. Because I was still doing work with Stat, with Doug, with my boy Raj. We had a group called Definite Destruction.
Okay, Definite Destruction,
yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And it was a phenomenal time. But we're gonna talk a lot more about that during sound check when we go through some things, because we're going to definitely bring in some guests and some other artists who were there at the time who would definitely like to chime in on some of this as well. We got some pretty good shows coming up for
and,
you guys.
And I just want you to tell us, what was your brother's name? That's important.
Oh, my brother was Money Mike.
okay?
Yeah, DJ Money Mike.
And you see the and again, tell me, your brother was older than you.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So it goes back almost to my point about LeVar Ball. I mean, LeVar Ball with his children, with Lonzo Ball.
Yes, yes.
Like the
exactly.
younger brother, you know, the older brother has influenced.
Yes,
over,
yes, yeah. exactly. Because I definitely know my love for hip hop definitely came through watching him do it. I mean, my mother and father at that time was, you know, hey, cut that noise off in the room there. But I was just so fascinated with everything my brother did. I could not stay out of his room. I used to always have to just sneak in there, you know, hide sometime just to, because I know he's coming in, he's about to start DJing, he comes right in the house, put his headphones on, and he starts going in. And sometimes he'll let me just sit there and listen, other times he wanted to be alone and just play his music, but he was good at what he did.
Yeah. So, again, sound check. Dell, one part of sound check. Next guy I'm gonna introduce, this guy here, dapper gentleman. He's so dapper that they call him Dapper Dez.
What up?
Riff.
Yo, what's up, Dez? Dez, talk to the people. Let the people know how you got involved in the culture.
Oh, man. Well, I guess I'm going way back to almost the beginning, man. Not to tell my age or anything, but back in 1977 when I moved out.
Whoa. You just told it.
Well, you don't know how old I was. I was a young guy, though. But back then, I had moved to this, I had moved out of the Ville to this section of Brooklyn called the 90s. Actually 91st between Lenox and Kings Island to be exact, but
Brooklyn all day.
Yeah, it was right outside of Brownsville. But one of my neighbors, you know, his older brother was in his crew, his DJ crew. And this is before, you know, a lot of cats was rhyming and whatnot. And they was basically mixing, you know, they was called the Mix Masters crew. So that's how I pretty much got introduced to it, because they used to throw parties and stuff like that. I was too young to go to the parties, but every now and then when his big brother wasn't around, me and my boy used to sneak and, you know, play with the DJ equipment and whatnot. And, you know, sometimes he would get caught and have to face the wrath. You know, but definitely that's how I got started as well. You know, I wanted to be a DJ at that point. Just because the DJ at that time was the main attraction, you know. All the girls wanted to be around the DJ and all that.
Yeah, that's so true.
So what you're saying that, okay, and this is a hip-hop fact, that it wasn't this part of hip-hop culture that the focus wasn't on the MC at that time.
Nah.
No. That's why you even see now, even with even if you look at old school stuff like Grandmaster Flash, it was Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five. The DJ was always in the front at that time.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. But when the MC started, you know, they started coming out, you know, I fell in love with that, of course. But the first element I was attracted to was the DJing, because that was the first element to me. Okay. You know. And then later on, breakdancing. I never became an MC. I tried to write, but it's not for me.
Yeah. So,
got it to breakdancing at that point and graffiti. So I basically was doing three of the elements. Mm. I just couldn't get the fourth one down, but 77 was the start for me.
Okay. So since that was the start, I know you as being musically inclined, a producer of music. What got you to that point?
Well, when I started DJing, well, back then we used to blend records together and try to create something new out of, you know, two different songs. So from there, I guess I started getting that that composer bug bit me, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, with creating new sounds with records, you just try to do it more original. And you start playing. Started, you know, with the drum machines and stuff like that. And eventually get my own equipment and going from there.
Okay. So, I mean, so what was your biggest musical influence?
Oh, man, it's a lot, man. Jeez. I like, man, cats like Barry White, because I guess a lot of people don't know, he didn't read or write music. And he was conducting orchestras, you know, without that type of knowledge.
Hold up. Bring it back. That can't be overlooked.
Yeah.
He didn't read or write music, but he was conducting orchestras. I didn't know that.
Me neither.
I didn't know that.
Well, that's dope.
Yeah, see, he's learning something already.
Yeah. Sound check. Sound check. Tune in. He's teaching me.
Yeah, man. Yeah, the brother didn't read or write music, and he's, if you listen to his songs, you know, he conducted symphonies. Mm. You know what I'm saying? I guess he was maybe using his mouth, I guess, to give him a direction. But, yeah, he's one of my influences because I don't read or write music either.
Wow. So you wouldn't even know that yourself.
Yeah.
For real.
So him, I guess Quincy Jones. Who else? It's about Stevie Wonder. And that's just on the R&B tip. As far as hip-hop, I guess it would be like, Premier. There's a few cats. Premier, Ninth Wonder, Pete Rock, you know, cats along that line.
Very, very, that's a good lineup, you know, well-respected producers.
Yeah.
You know, musicians. But as far as the podcast is concerned, I know you gentlemen are going to get together and really school those that don't know. I think that's why your podcast is going to be so important, because you're going to school those that don't know. Yeah. Like, I was talking to someone earlier in the week, and I was saying how but yo, I'm gonna keep it a buck. We live, so you're gonna catch a little bit of noise. But we're gonna continue.
We in the hood too.
Yeah, yeah, exactly, yeah. I stopped exactly. for a minute, you but we're gonna keep it live. But I was saying how artists today go from their bed to the studio to their music being sold on iTunes.
Hmm.
It wasn't that way before.
Definitely not. Oh, no. Yeah. Definitely not.
Yeah. You could do a whole show on that alone.
Exactly. And that's definitely going to be one of the topics. You guys got to tune in for that one. We're going to start letting callers call in on things of that nature, because we definitely want to get some feedback on what you guys think about some of these topics as well.
Yes. And I'm glad that you guys is going to be a part of this podcast network, Pulse Entertainment Podcast Network. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to clap it up for sound check.
Thank you.
My man Dell, Dapper Dez.
Yo, yo.
The Sound Check Entertainment Podcast. Tune in to these brothers. Learn more about the culture.
Coming at you.
Yes.
Coming at and you full force.
This is DU from Talking Trash, and we out.